So now we're on the last section of the deity worship here. So this is going over the rituals in the more elaborate form. So trying to, you know, finish this up in the next few days so that next week we can start with another topic. Then we're going to go through these, but mainly from the point of just summarizing the essential points or principles of what's happening. We won't go in so much into the detail, because this is not specifically on, learning the specific mantras and mudras for doing the worship. It's more for the understanding what's going on in the worship. So these are, what's written here is taken from what Sanatana Goswami has presented in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is giving the evidences and practical application in knowledge that Lord Chaitanya taught him at Prayag. So he, as the Sambandha Acharya, means his deity is Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan attracts us. So attracts us means he establishes that relationship. So this is what is being, this is the knowledge that he has, how to establish that relationship with the Lord. So with this understanding, that is the purpose of Hari Bhakti Vilas, how to establish our relationship with the Lord. Now, we can do that simply by chanting Hare Krishna. But one difficulty comes, because of our conditioned nature, we're not having that at least neutral position of maybe no attachment for the Lord, or let's say less attachment for the Lord, not full attachment for the Lord. And not having any, zero material attachment. So we're not on the advantage of that platform. That platform, chanting Hare Krishna alone, will do everything. Because the Lord and his name are non-different. Associating with the Lord, you'll naturally become attracted. And all these things are revealed. Because we can hear the Lord in the heart. We see the name as Krishna. So Krishna can teach us. He is the Adiguru. He can teach. There's nothing restricting him. The problem comes is us. So because we were conditioned, we don't hear the Lord in the heart, we don't see the name as non-different from him, and we tend to see everything through its external. Right? We see a dog, we see a dog. We see an elephant, it's an elephant. We see a Brahmin, it's a Brahmin. We see a dog eater, here's a low-class guy. You know, dog's better than him. But we're not seeing with the vision of someone who sees the dog, the dog eater, the elephant, the Brahmin, as they're all spirit. They're all transcendental. They have this external covering. But that external covering is the Lord's energy. It's being carried out through the modes of nature under the Lord's direction. So the Lord is in everything. Everything's happening under the Lord. So unless we're seeing with that kind of vision, then one doesn't get to this platform. So we're seeing material energy and judging accordingly. Gold is valuable. Pebbles are not. Dirt is even less. But the sage with such vision, the gold, the dirt, and the pebbles have the same value. Because for himself, he needs nothing. So for him, gold is not valuable. For Krishna's service, it's valuable. And he'll engage the gold how it's done, the pebbles how they can be engaged in Krishna's service, the dirt how they can be engaged. So this kind of vision, if one doesn't have, then if that platform is not there, only chanting Hare Krishna, it will be very slow. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami in this process of deity worship, or the Pancharatra. Because the Pancharatra then regulates our life so that we may advance. We may overcome our conditioned nature. You know, we want to sleep all day, but we have to get up in the morning. And at least Brahma Muhurta we go to. Like that. Then we may sleep the rest of the day. That's another thing. But the best time of the day, we try to catch. You know, at least we know it's better. At least we know we're in Maya. But otherwise, we think, no, this is okay. You know, sleeping in. And so it regulates us. It takes us away from sin. The tendency towards sin. The living entity wants to control and enjoy. So the enjoyment, unless it's in line with Krishna, is sin. If it's in line with Krishna, then it liberates. If it's not in line with Krishna, it liberates. So unless there is something that is going to regulate us to do things for Krishna, even if it's mechanical, how will we become liberated? That is the point. So we come to that point by performing activities, prescribed duties in knowledge. So here is the first set of prescribed duties that Krishna gives. If you can't surrender to me in love, perform transcendental duties out of love, transcendental activities out of love, then follow sadhana bhakti, because it's the same thing just put into format. You don't have the love, follow the step-by-step process how you'll get it. Just like someone knows how to cook, then I say, cook this preparation, or cook some halva. You just cook it. You don't need measurements, or you don't need this, you just go and cook. Right? Someone doesn't know anything about it, doesn't know how to cook, then they have to say, take so much of this, so much of that, and put a teaspoon of this, and half a teaspoon of that, and boil it for 5 minutes, this thing, and then reduce it, and simmer it for so much, stir it like this, and if I follow the recipe exactly, I'll get nice halva. If I don't follow the recipe exactly, I'll end up with something terrible. Right? Of course, there is a Malayali saying that if you put enough ghee, you can even eat biscuits. So in the case of halva, it'll probably still be edible. But the point is that until you know the system, unless you follow exactly step by step, you're going to end up with something unpalatable. So that is the purpose of this. So Sanatana Goswami, as the acharya of relationship, sambandha, he has compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas to substantiate the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave him. And he quotes from 200 different scriptures to establish this. You know, like that. So then, this is the process of purification. And these are the elements that we're dealing with that is there in the spiritual subject matter. In other words, you take the philosophy and you plug it in the way of how to invoke that relationship with the Lord and how, in that relationship, how to interact with the Lord. Right? If I have affection for somebody, no one really has to tell me much how to act. They can refine it. I see someone I like, I naturally go forward. Right? And I want to, you know, talk with them or touch them or give them something, or I want to do something to interrelate. You don't have to tell me to do it automatically. I may refine that and say, okay, I'll slap them so hard on the back, you know, or something like that. And that's refinement of the devotional, of the process. But if I don't know, the person, don't know anything, then I have to have a process. Okay, you go up to them, you know, you make some eye contact, you smile, you stick your hand out, you shake the hand. For, you know, devotees, offer obeisances, ask, you know, who are you, what's your name, or my name is this, I stay here. The process, a step-by-step process, you can go out and establish the relationship. So this is what Sanatana Goswami does for us with the Pancharatrik Vidhi. That is why Prabhupada says Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pancharatrik have to go side by side. Without the two of them, the conditioned soul is very slow. Because the holy name may be attracting us to Krishna himself, but because of our tendency to control and enjoy, we'll go away from Krishna. So the Pancharatra controls that nature to go away from Krishna. So the effect of the holy name to draw us to Krishna has the strongest effect. Right? So it helps. It's an assistant to the chanting of the holy name. So then here, in the first principles, basically we have two aspects. That of becoming qualified. It's understanding the position of everything, respecting the Lord, his paraphernalia, and everything, and bringing ourselves to that same level. This is an important principle. This is called Purvanga Karmas, or preliminary activities. Just like if we want to go to Vaikuntha, I have to develop the mentality of the residents of Vaikuntha, which is perfectly in line with the mentality of the Lord. Right? The Lord is master, and myself as servant have to be matched. So the residents of Vaikuntha have done that. So if I want to get to Vaikuntha, I have to match their mentality. So that's called yoga, or linking. Right? You link the mentality. Like that. So for us, it's purifying. We have to purify. If we want to go to Ayodhya, then we have to develop the mentality. It means one is Aishwarya, you know? And in Ayodhya, it's, what is it? Maryada. The mood there is Maryada, you know, of religious principles and the king and everything like that. Very nice, very deep emotions on you know, based on the religious principles and connection with the Lord. Very strong, you know? And then Dwarka, then you have some of both aspects. Then in Vrindavan, you have Madhurya. It's sweet. All the relationships in Vrindavan are sweet. Whatever he does with the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, Mother Yashoda, the cows, everything's sweet. So you have to develop that sweet mentality. Otherwise, you don't get into Vrindavan. You know, Avdarya, the compassion, you don't get into Navadvip. So you have to be able to develop that mentality. So here, he gives the mechanical process. It's called Purvanga Karmas, or yoga. It's how to understand all the different material elements, our body, our mind, words, intelligence, the ego, how to take all that and rearrange it so that it's all engaged in the Lord's service, it's all in tune with the Lord's service. Then we can start Ija, which is the actual worship. Right. Does that make sense? Understand? These are the two major divisions in this part, in the actual, where we get down to the technicalities of worship. So then, first here, in the preparation of ourselves, then we have here, it's offering obeisances to the spiritual master. So as we understand that our whole connection, we want to enter, we want to establish a relationship to the Lord. Our whole relationship is based on our relationship with the spiritual master. No relationship with spiritual master, no relationship with the Lord. So that is the first principle. Because when we get to the spiritual world, we're going to be following somebody. The lead positions in service to Krishna are already existent. They've been in there since time. Mother Yashoda has been there since time immemorial. Right? She's always been there. So anyone who wants to serve Krishna in the parental rasa follows her. Right? The cowherd boys, there's already leaders for that. If you want to serve Krishna as a friend of Krishna, they're already Sri Dham, Sudham, Subal, Madhu Mangal, they're already there. You can help them in their service. That becomes your service. Doing service like they're doing, under their direction. So this principle is that you want to get into this, into spiritual life, you start offering obeisance to the spiritual master, because you have to learn that. You have to learn service under the servant. Servant and servant. Like that. So like that we see. You know, the followers of Prabhupada in his service to the Acharyas. The same time as being direct followers of Prabhupada is his instructions from the Pancharatra. We also have someone who is connecting us to this side to Prabhupada and is helping us understand Prabhupada's instructions. We owe something to them. So in this way, we have that. We're all Rupanugas. We all serve Rupa Goswami. Same time as we have our acharyas, we're serving under. So in this way, we have both simultaneously. So this is the training. We may do direct service. It's still under their guidance. So this whole thing, approaching the spiritual master. Then we purify ourselves, doing achma. That's proper pure. Spiritual realm is pure. If we're not clean, we don't get in the spiritual realm. We see here. Then, yeah. So and items for purification. Means in the material world, everything's impure. So we have to have methods to purify. So we keep our body clean, our mind clean, all these different things clean. Everything must be clean. So there's three principles that we'll find in the whole worship, which is the whole coming from the philosophy. You have the seva, sevya, sevaka. You have the seva, or the service itself. We have the Lord, who that service is being offered to, the sevya. And then we have the person offering that service, the sevak. So when all these things are on the same transcendental platform, it becomes perfect. So this whole process of yoga is ensuring that. We are qualified, the Lord is already qualified, and the service we render then becomes qualified. So here, okay, now this is aspect to purify yourself, entering the deity room. So when we enter the deity room, we're respecting all the different personalities that are there in the deity room to get in. Because if you want to get into the Lord's pastimes, there's already associates there. It's not that we're just barging in. The Lord's been sitting there alone, and he thinks, finally, someone's come. I was so bored, you know. He's already surrounded by unlimited devotees. And those main devotees that are there, who are organizing whole pastimes, or at least taking part in that organization. So in Vaikuntha, he already has his doorkeepers. He already has his close associates like Vishvakshena, the commander in chief of the Vaikuntha army. You know, Lakshmiji is there. Oh, so many are there. He's already served all his energies. So one has to respect them. They're there. By their grace, you're allowed to enter. Same in Dwarka, same in Vrindavan. There's already devotees there. If you want to get in, you have to go through them. Kamsa once tried to. He was thinking, how are all these demons? I've sent so many big demons to Vrindavan, and they've all been killed. And not only that, I've heard they've been killed by a kid. You know? So then he's thinking, this is very strange. I'll go check it out myself. The king sends the ministers, small people, and he's last. So they've gone and nothing's happened. So now he's decided it's time. I'll see myself. So he goes to Vrindavan. He comes down the path to Vrindavan. And he gets to that place when you come to the path from Mathura to where you would turn into Vrindavan. You go past Vyasadeva's seat where he wrote the 10th canto Bhagavatam. So just when he got there, very close by, there's a little pond there. And he comes in. The big royal Kshatriya nonsense demon from Mathura. And he walks in and, you know, he wants to know what's going on here. He sees some ladies down at this small, pond, washing their clothes and stuff like that. And he goes down and he sees an elderly lady there. And he thinks he will ask her, where is this Krishna? He's the king. So he walks over very proud and important. And as soon as he gets there, that old lady happens to be Purnamasi. And she just grabbed him, right? Big, huge Kshatriya. And here's this, old lady, dressed in white and like that. Supposed to be, old ladies are generally not known to be big wrestlers. So whatever it is, she just grabs Kamsa and just dips him in the pukur, pulls him out, and he's in the form of a woman. And then she says, all right, now start washing these clothes. And just gives him the runaround, works him hard and grinding things and doing beating and this and that, doing all the household chores. She's like really, working him hard. And then after, time is kind of enough, let me out of here and that. And she says, well, we'll let you out of here if you promise never to come back here again. You ever come here again? Same. Back in the pukur and washing the clothes. So then he says, anything, you know. So then Purnamasi dips him back in the pukur, and now he's again the big kshatriya, gets on his chariot and leaves. So the point is, it's, we may think, I'm going to get into Vrindavan, I'm going to get into here and there. Well, there are a few people at the door. And unless you please them, you won't get in. It's that simple. So that understanding that we, our entrance into the spiritual realm is through these associates of the Lord. First the spiritual master, and then the eternal associates. Then is established at this point, entering the Didi room, Pravesh. Therefore, we're not proud, we're very careful. We touch the door, we bow. So that touching the door, because we're taking support. Like you lean on something if you need support. You don't need support. You walk very straight and proud. But you're leaning on the door, because in the door, so many of the Lord's associates are there. That, and we're bowing our head. Right? And we're being very careful not to step on the threshold. Our generally modern buildings don't have thresholds on the door. Previous doors, you have frame on four sides. It's a much stronger door. When you have a frame on three sides, it's much easier to break. So the old doors were frames on four sides, so that the bottom one, there's also personalities living there. They live in the sides, they live in the top, and they also live in the bottom. So generally, we wouldn't step over that, we wouldn't step on it. So out of respect for everybody, that by their grace you're able to approach into the spiritual realm, you're being very humble and taking their support. So therefore, you're going in. Like this, one is not feeling I am going to my own prowess, my own power. Then, dispelling inauspicious influences. Then, Brahma-nivarana. One is the service to the Lord. See, there's two that go on here. This one here is specifically for the Lord. That anything that may be around that give inauspicious problems and that is kicked out. So the Lord himself, he is the original one that kicks out everything. He with his strong arms, he is killing all the demons. Like that. He's known as Madhusudan. Right? Madhusudan with his arm. That's why Madhusudan is put here on the arm. His arm, he's killing the demons. So with this... Yeah. But as a service, he allows us to do these things. Plus, we're clearing the thing of influences on ourself. So therefore, where we stay, where we live, and that, we always see that very nice, pure, and nicely kept. So that there's no bad influences. Now, we are susceptible to bad influences. The Lord is not. But if we're not careful, they may influence us. So we're very careful to see that there's no bad influences. Then, establishing a place for worship is that... We are respecting the Dham. When we establish the place of worship, we send asan that we're going to sit on. But this asan is then on a few things. You know, you have Ananta Seish, you have Zadara Shakti, then you have the earth, the Prabhuva Swa, then this is the whole Mahesh, the Devi Dham. Above that is Mahesh Dham, above that is Vaikuntha Dham, above that is Goloka Dham. Within that, you have Dwarka, Mathura, then Vrindavan. So all these different realms that the Lord's pastimes are situated on, we must respect his energies. The Sandhini potency is what everything is situated on. But that's everything being accommodated there. So we respect the Dham. We respect we respect that place, and we're begging that we may be pure in this place, that we may not offend, that we have come here, that we may not be offensive, that she may bless us, that we are pure. So, in worshiping the Lord, we also see others. This we take benefit from, blessings from the others, we're also respecting them, because we know they are there. It always comes back to this point. Others always there. Other associates of the Lord. So here in the Dham itself is she's arranging so many wonderful things for Krishna's pleasure. She's arranged all the different seasons and all the different situations. all this is there. It means Govardhan and Radhakund, Shamakund, and all these different things, and Nandagram, and Garshana, and Vrindavan, and Jamuna, all these are sitting on her. So she's arranging all these nice things so that Krishna can. This is what Krishna wants. She's arranging. So we're respecting this. Respecting her service, her position. Then, after that, then we have a place now of doing the worship. This is the sthan, right? We want to see that the sthan is pure. There's nothing disturbing. The place is clean. Then we arrange the paraphernalia. You're going to do a specific worship. You need paraphernalia for that. Right? It means in worship of Krishna, even in the spiritual realm, they don't just sit there and grin at each other. You know? There's paraphernalia that they use. Krishna is going to take a bath. So they have a place for him to bathe, they have fresh clothes, they have nice scents, they have so many different things there. They have mirrors to show him what it looks like. So you want to bathe Krishna, all that paraphernalia is there. And you won't just put it anywhere. It's like, oh, where's the towels and run around for that? Oh, where's the mirror and run around for that? You know, mirrors are here, towels are here, clothes are here, ornaments are here, like this. So everything is very nicely laid out so you know how to serve, so you can serve Krishna nicely. The mood, the flow of affection between the Lord and the devotee is unimpeded. As we mentioned, here is the paraphernalia. First was, this was the place at which everything's going to take, was going to happen. Right? Then now we're dealing with paraphernalia. Right? Blessings to get into the place. Now in this place you're going to have that paraphernalia. The Lord will be there and we are trying to establish ourselves there. So these three must be established. Seva, seva, sevak. So now the paraphernalia is being established. So we're putting them in a way in which you can nicely serve Krishna. It will look very attractive and it's very efficient. Things that are boga and prasad will not be mixed. Things that are dirty and clean will not be mixed. You know, you don't put the clothes in such a way that when you bathe Krishna they get wet. Or the towels get wet. Or articles, you know, his boga to be offered to him doesn't get wet. So you arrange everything nicely. So that is being done for the worship. Then, now that you're inside. Now we're requesting our spiritual master for his blessings to be able to assist him in doing the puja. Because he is doing the puja. Yeah. Yeah. My dear spiritual master who gives the fruit of highest bliss, the bliss of love of Godhead, please engage me in the blissful service of Sri Krishna, who bestows bliss upon the land of Braj. So then we're requesting that we may be able to take part in these Lord's blissful pastimes. Because this is a pastime. The Lord has given these rules. If we follow them, then we're doing it according to what Krishna likes. He is pleased. And if he is pleased, following his rules is his pastimes. This is why when you follow the rules for pleasing Krishna, it pleases him more than you do things how you like. What pleases you, you do that for Krishna. Okay, it's interaction. That's fine. You know? It may be a little one-sided, but it's interaction. And anything in relationship to Krishna is perfect. Right? It's sat. But there's different levels of perfection. So more perfect than that is now when you do things that please Krishna. So he's given the rules and regulations, and before we follow them, then that pleases Krishna more. You know? Because it's not so much the thing that's being offered. It's your offering because Krishna likes this. Right? You heard Krishna likes this fruit. You offer that fruit because you know Krishna likes this. Because I'll offer what fruits I like, I offer to Krishna. So it's nice. Because the fruits have come from Krishna anyway. But when we see Krishna himself personally likes this fruit, I offer that to Krishna. Then that's more pleasing to him because he's saying you're doing this because out of affection. Right? Still is following the rules and regulation. Without the rules and regulation, I wouldn't know what Krishna likes. Right? So we follow these, and then I know Krishna likes, and then I offer that to Krishna. So following these rules, that is also considered affection. That is also love. Krishna established these rules so that we know what he likes and how to engage ourselves in his service, which is the perfection of our life. So by doing that, that's also love. It may not be on the topmost platform, but it's still love that you're doing it out of consideration of Krishna. So in this way, then we take the blessings of the spiritual master. Then we purify the hands, because the hands are what we're going to be using for the service. We see that in the spiritual realm, they're also very, they always wash their hands. Krishna and the coward boys are washing their hands like that, Mother Yashoda and all that, when Krishna gets high. Trinavarta demons heals him. Then they get him back, you know, just like that, and they bathe him, and then they do achman, and then they do nyasas on his body. All these things they're doing. You know, to keep things very nice and pure there, because little children always get unclean. And because of this, then demons and all that come. Right? That's why they wear the little black thread around their waist. And then, so Krishna has that. Mother Yashoda has put that, because the kids do, you know, they're doing everything they eat. They don't wash their hands and all this kind of stuff. So you see, they're caring for this, to see that it's all done nicely. So here then, you know, the hands must be pure. Purifying the flowers. Flowers are very dear. Nice paraphernalia. So all the paraphernalia is very clean, very sattvic. Krishna likes things on the topmost platform of cleanliness. That's why in deity worship, cleanliness and punctuality is so important. Krishna, in his pastimes, is going through set times of the day he does certain activities. Right? You don't see him getting up at noontime. He gets up in the morning. Noontime, in the morning, he goes out with the coward boys. Sometime he's with the gopis. Afternoon, he's again with the coward boys. Evening, he's again with the Yashoda Nanda Baba. Nighttime, he's again with the gopis. So like that, it's gone. He's not in, you know, he's not in the midday with the gopis. And then at midnight, he's with the cowherd boys. And, you know, one can say, well, that's spontaneous. But spontaneous is the love. In the situation, what will happen, what you will do based on that love, that is the interesting point. But Krishna is very regulated. It's called asana prahara. You know? Like this, is that eight different sections of the day, 3-hour rotation. Krishna is doing all these activities. Krishna is doing like this. We see Krishna and Dwarka is also flowing very nicely, all these things. Narad Muni went and saw Krishna is doing all these things in all his palaces. He's getting up, he's doing all the things, doing the duties of Grihastha, going to the court in the morning, you know, in the evening he's sitting in his house, all these different things. It's regular. So time. Krishna likes to eat his lunch at the lunchtime. You know, he likes to take his breakfast at breakfast. You know, he likes to go to bed at this time, get up at this time. So these things, he likes to do them. So that, plus cleanliness, everything is perfectly clean. We see in the past time, Krishna killed Aristasura. He's a bull, right? So as you know, how you say, you know, lived in Vrindavan, supposed to protect the cows. Now here, Krishna's just killed one, right? Aristasura, big demon, the form of a bull. Then the gopis don't want to have anything to do with him. They don't want to touch him. He's contaminated. He's killed a bull. You know, like that. So then, you know, killing a bull is a big offense. Because Krishna likes cows so much. Therefore, the shastras are so strong. Other animals must be killed. You know, kill the cows, and then you got a problem. So now, they don't want to associate with him. You know? Because they say, you're contaminated, you've killed a bull. You have to do some atonement. So, what? You have to bathe in all the sacred rivers. Right? So what does that mean? You'd have to go around to all the different places. You know how long Balaram, it took him a year to go around the whole of India. Go to all the sacred places. So, I mean, that's a long time. So then Krishna, you know, and it's already nighttime, they're already at Govardhan. It's time for their pastimes. you know, he's not really overly favorable to the idea of now going on pilgrimage to all the places and taking bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Right? So therefore, he decides, okay, he sits there and he calls all the different personalities, all the holy places, all the rivers and bathing places and everything. And then they all come and say, hey, what can we do for you? What can we serve? And then he says, I want you to, you know, reside in a kund here. Like that. So then they all live there. And then Krishna takes his bath. Then the gopis think, so then, okay, then he says, okay, I've taken bath now. So then the gopis think, I don't know about this. You know, it's maybe a few tricks. We know this boy. He's a very clever boy. So they didn't trust that he's actually fully clean. So they decided we'll make our own. So then they started digging next to that another kunda. And then they all got a nice big line in front of the Manasganga. They started bringing pots of water to fill it up. And then when that was all full, then they told Krishna, okay, now you bathe in this. Then we'll consider you clean. So then Krishna bathed there. And then all the waters in Krishna's kunda, then they came personified to Radharani and said, okay, we're here in Shyam's kund, but we would also like to be in your kund. So then she gave blessings, and so then they broke through and then also came. So that's why Shyama kund and Radha kund are connected. We see, well, the purity, just even for the point of pastime, not that they're unclean, the Lord, his devotees, they're not unclean, but the pastime of being clean is very dear to the Lord. Doing things according to you know, time and according to cleanliness, it's very dear to him. We see them in the eternal pastime. Therefore, they're so important to deity worship. Deity worship is how I can get into the spiritual association, the spiritual realm, and worship the Lord, the transcendental Lord, even though I am still in a mundane platform. So the principles of the spiritual world apply. They apply. Though they're done through these externals of rules and regulations. So then we purify the hands, the flowers, the different paraphernalia. They're all purified. Then we come to purifying ourselves. So now paraphernalia. So the aspects, the dravya, for the savor is pure. The plate is pure, the dravya is pure. Then, then we, for purifying ourselves, so then we're trying to remove the subtle influences of material desires, all the ghosts and, you know, hobgoblins of mundane desire that we're driving out. And then we protect ourselves against that coming in, you know. Then we concentrate on changing our identity from that of a non-devotee to a devotee. This is called Bhuta Shuddhi, purifying the bhutas, or the material elements. So we do that by changing that I am a servant of Krishna. I'm not this body. Right? I'm not this body, I'm a servant of Krishna. Then this changes the whole identity. And that changes, that automatically changes our intelligence, how that will function, changes our mind, how what it will accept and reject. As a devotee, now will accept and reject differently than when I'm not. Then that, the mind controls the senses, and the senses move the body. So this way, the whole existence becomes changed. So this is a very important point, is that we have to remove the material desires, we have to protect ourselves from those coming back, and we have to, we have to identify ourselves as the Lord's servant. Then we actually come to the transcendental platform. Right? Then, once that is done, then we get into the actual preliminary worship. Now, with this, now the place is clean, the paraphernalia is clean, and we are clean. So now all of them are on the transcendental platform. Recognize that. The Dham, the paraphernalia, and ourselves must be on that platform to associate with the Lord. Now we get into those who will directly be dealing and worshipping the Lord. The Lord's paraphernalia. The bell, which is all music. Right? Krishna's always served with these things. His conch shell, which is all gives all auspiciousness. And that, then after we have worshipped the Lord's plate, and then to the place where he'll sit, where we'll do that worship, like we see when we have the yanams, when we worship the Lord, then there's always that aspect of the seat. Right? Vrindaranya kalpa drusanaha srimatra nagara simhasana stone. Right? In Vrindavan, transcendental realm of Vrindavan, under the kalpa vriksha tree, then there is a wonderful jeweled throne. And Sri Sri Radha Sri Lagavinda Devo. Then they're sitting there. Then they're being served. So that place is very important. So we worship the place. You know, means we understand that the place is valuable, all his direct paraphernalia, you know, his flute, his clothes, his all these different things are. Then we worship the spiritual master. Now in this situation, now we're getting to the point where everything's set up. Before we were trying to enter in, we were preparing ourselves. Now we're at the place where the worship will happen. Everything is there. The personalities are there. The paraphernalia is there. Now we're just inviting the Lord. So then we will worship. We'll take blessings from the spiritual master, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like this. Then we will begin assisting them, begin this worship. Then when that is, their blessings are there, then the Lord is brought in the mind. The mind, the Lord is in the heart. Right? We see that when the, what do you call it? Like when the gopis would see Krishna, or the queens of Dwarka would see Krishna, first thing they would take him into his heart, their heart. Like they would see, and they'd be taking him into the heart. So this aspect of establishing that Lord's, the Lord's form and all that, first by meditation. We see, we do all the services and all that. Once that's done, now the mind is completely pure. Because now the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna. Because when Krishna is there, Krishna in his form are not different. When we're thinking of Krishna, Krishna is in the mind. So the mind becomes purified. So I think there's a prayer. You know, that probably mentions that remembering the Lord's lotus feet is like thunderbolts against the mountains of sin. You know, thunderbolts can destroy the mountains. Like that. So by remembering the Lord's lotus feet, it destroys those. Like that. So this is because it's the Lord's in the heart. So at this point, the yoga becomes complete. Is that our mind, and then Krishna is there in the mind. So then the transcendental platform then has been that has been attained. Means the platform, the, how to say, the Lord is Satchitananda, and when we're acting on that platform of Satchitananda, we can associate. Then we can, so that is what happens here. Then we, yeah, okay. Okay, then establish all the paraphernalia. Now is there, now you actually establish the paraphernalia, put everything, now you, they're all invoked, and then after, then you are going to start the worship. Interesting thing here is that in the water, you establish the deity. The water you're going to see the deity with, the Lord is established in that water. Is then it's non-different from the Lord. It's on that same platform. So then we understand how all these things, the Ganga, Jamuna, and all that, because they're coming from the Lord. Right? Ganga, is touched the toe of the Lord is spiritual. It's transcendental, coming from Him. He established the Manasi Ganga. Like that. The internal potency established the Jamuna. So these places are very fit because of their transcendental nature. So recognizing this transcendental nature of that, then we establish the Lord in the water. We go through the 16 items. Now, once we've done this, we go through the 16 items. So these items are things that are being done for the worship of the Lord. So in the different realms of existence, then they may be more formal or less formal. But in all its spheres, they're going on. First is establish a place for the Lord. Right? Invite Him to come. Right? We see that there's always a place. Mother Yashoda is calling Krishna, you know, you're not a street kid. It's time for you to come in for lunch. You know, and come in. Nandabala is waiting for you. And that. So she's inviting Him to come to the place. When He'll come, Nandababa will show, sit. You know, Rohini Mataji will sit here. So they're all trying to establish Him in His seat. Then they'll see He's comfortable. And then they'll perform the service of that situation. So asana is always important. We see when Krishna left the rasa dance, then all the gopis were looking for Him. When He finally came, then they were coming and putting out their claws in the sand and inviting Him to sit down and all that and saying so many things. This way they started their conversation and that. So the asana is always established. The place where Krishna will sit. Right? Radha Govinda are sitting on the jeweled throne. Juman, they're sitting in a seat. They have a place. In other words, there's always a place for the pastime to happen. So this is always being established. Then you see that the Lord is comfortable. Right? That's natural. Then, depending on the situation, if you're in many situations, the feet have to be washed before taking rest, before eating, you know, when he's going to take his bath. All these different things, these situations will be there. You know, so whether it's done formally or whether it's done informally, like the devotee is out of ecstasy, they're crying, those tears are washing the Lord's feet. In any case, it's all padya. So that aspect of worshiping the Lord's feet, then offering, you know, respect to the Lord, these aspects you'll find more in formal worship, because the Pancharatra is establishing for us the rules according to formality, because until you have love, actual love, then you cannot worship just on the platform of love. Because on the platform of love, the rules and everything, it all becomes informal. It's done, but it's informal. You know, just like you invite someone over who is an acquaintance, and that, then you serve them a meal, but it's all very formal. You have a friend over to your house, you also have a meal, but it's more informal. Like that. But the meal is there. So, when we receive the Lord in the formal thing, then the Argya is there, the Madhu Park is there, and these aspects are there. Because without the love, we're actually worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Not that it's the deities there are Radha and Krishna. Doesn't mean the deities are Lakshmi Narayan, but we're worshipping them as Lakshmi Narayan. Because when we offer our worship, we're doing it because of the rules. It's not because of pure love. Because we've done it according to the rules, they reciprocate according to the rules. So when the Lord reciprocates with His devotee through the rules, that's Lakshmi Narayan. And when He reciprocates through pure love, spontaneous love, that's Vrindavan. When it's love, there's some aspect of the spontaneous love, but with formality, according to rules, that's Dwarka. And when it's just pure love, without any formality, then that's Vrindavan. So until we're on that platform, how Krishna will reciprocate? It just won't happen. Right? Like the Father is there. He has all different natures. I mean, all different aspects of his personality. But the child is very young. Then basically it's just, you know, patting him on the head and smiling and taking care. And, you know, whatever the kid wants, he gives him. When the kid matures, then he can deal with them like a friend, involve them in, you know, whatever's the family traditions and the values and all that, and work with them as like a, how do you say, it's a teamwork. But, so the father didn't change. Father was the same. The child changed. The child was too young to deal on that platform. So it's not the father, it's the child. So when Prabhupada says we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, it's not Radha Krishna's lack. It's our lack. So even though Radha and Krishna are there, we don't relate to them as Radha and Krishna. Because through the meeting of the rules and regulations, that's the only way we have the contact. So as that love develops, then they start to reciprocate on that level. When love does not develop, they'll reciprocate with us formally. But the point is they will reciprocate. And by us offering that service, we become purified. So step by step by step, we come to that platform where we can worship Radha Krishna. Therefore, in the Pancharatra, because its nature of purifying us, as we mentioned, and establishing the relationship, therefore these formalities are there. Then after that, then the Lord has his bath. You know, he leaves his bath. And in this, when you get into the technical worship, then he also, all the different things like we like to do, you know, like when you, it's, Wes is more difficult because you end up in these funny little showers of clay bathtubs and everything. But India, where they have lots of space and these open areas and all that, and they like to sit and move around, and many times they wear wooden shoes. Very common in India. People in the bathrooms when they take showers wear wooden shoes. Because when you stand on the floor, when you pour water on yourself, the dirty water runs off your body and off the feet, and it goes onto the floor. But when your feet are on the floor, the feet actually still are within the dirty water. So then it's nice that you have your wooden shoes on, because then the water goes over your body and off the body onto the floor, but your feet aren't on the floor. So it's a natural thing. It keeps you out of all these kinds of things. So the Lord likes to wear his shoes like that. Then he doesn't take bath in just his regular wearing clothes. He likes to put on a gumsha, you know, clothes specifically meant for bathing like that. And then after that, then he brushes his teeth, right? So he likes to use twigs. Twigs are very natural and nice and that. And so uses his twig to brush his teeth. And then after that, then he cleans his tongue like that. This whole process of cleaning the tongue is because in the spiritual realm, Krishna also does that. So he cleans his tongue. And then after that, you wash the mouth very nicely. And then he washes his face. Then you wash, after you wash your hands, your mouth, your face. You always wash your feet, because when you wash, then the water, you know, because it goes down and may splatter on the feet and all that. So you want that clean, because this is more dirty. So you don't want that on your feet when you're taking your bath. You may think, well, it'll get washed off. But it's like, you don't want it there in the first place. You want to be clean means clean. So you get rid of this, then we take the bath and we're more clean. Like that. Then after this, then you may, you know, dry like that. Then he likes to he likes to look in the mirror, check it out, what we look like. You know, it's a very standard thing. In the West, you know, going to the bathroom looking like, you know, whatever, Methuselah or death warmed over or something, and go in and wash your face, wear your teeth, and when you finish clean like that, before you like to look in the mirror and see your nice bright shiny face and all that. Very common. That's why they always put the mirror right there at the sink, right? If everyone didn't like to look like that, they put the mirror somewhere else. You know, like, who wants to see your face in the morning? But no, everyone likes to see their face after they've done all that. You know? And then, so that's why the mirror is always right there in front of the thing. Because Krishna likes to see himself. Like that. So then the mirror is offered like that. Then we get into the main part of the bath. Then we put oil, massage the oil, let that sit like that. Then he takes the bath. You wash all that oil off. And then afterwards, then you hang on. Yeah. And so then after the bath, comb his hair and that. Then Angavastri dries. He dries with a cloth like that, with the gumshaftra afterwards. It's interesting. Gumsha comes from Sanskrit. Ga mocha. Right? The Sanskrit is ga mocha. Ga means body and mocha means to wipe. So ga mocha in Bengali or Sanskrit goes gumsha. Simplified, that's where gumsha comes from. So Angavastra is the more is the another word. It just means the cloth for the cleaning the, how do you say, the body. Then after Lord does tilak, he does achman, like that. Then he wears his cloth, puts on his lower cloth, and then puts on his Brahman thread, does his achman for chanting Gayatri and that. So we see, you put the tilak, and then, you know, these different rituals are done. Then, you know, so the spiritual activities like that. Then Abhayanam, then he dresses himself with ornaments. Then Gandha. Then Gandha is, I'd say, Gandha will be like sandalwood paste mixed with different things, different kinds of scents and all that. That will be, because we see Krishna is always wearing that. He always is wearing all kinds of ornaments. You know, his crown and his necklaces and his bracelets and his armlets and things on his you know, foot bells and rings and all these different things. So they're all offered this time. Gandha, pushpa, flowers. So especially in flowers, then you have tulsi, then you have garlands, then you have loose flowers. So all these are different, are all offered. See, Krishna uses all of these. And then we respect dhoop. We offer dhoop, incense, dip, lamps, and then naivedya. And for the naivedya, he washes his hands, his feet, and then sits for eating. We offer him things to eat, things to drink. And then after that, then he washes his mouth and washes his hands, washes his feet, offer garlands, offer sandalwood paste, you know, offer then, you know, some tambula, some pan, then a nice place to rest for a little bit. After Krishna eats, he always rests a little bit. Like in the morning after he eats his breakfast, he rests for a few minutes. And then after that, then he goes out with the cowherd boys. So this is the, how you say, we see that all these offering of these 16 items, this has been 15 up to now, all done in the spiritual realm. You know? So it's not just something for here. So it's many times a misunderstanding that the aspects of deity worship, you know, don't really have anything to do with the advanced levels of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and culture. But they're based on that. And it's by these principles we establish this relationship. So this is what Sanatana Goswami has given us. But we just have to understand what it is. We don't understand, we just follow it, just because its rules must be understood. Then that's one improper application. That's over-application. And then if we don't follow the rules, we don't understand them. Same thing. But both don't understand the rules. Why? Why they're doing. One follows dogmatically, one rejects pragmatically. Right? So you're the dogmatic and the pragmatic. And they're both wrong. Because neither of them know what's the purpose. So when we know the purpose, then everything goes very, very nicely. Because we see it's coming from this, it's coming straight out of the spiritual realm. Straight from the spiritual realm. That, remember the history of the Pancharatra. That after Brahma heard the Vedas, had understood the Vedas of Krishna, like that, then the Madhu demon came and stole the Vedas from Krishna, from Brahma's mind. And then Brahma wanted again to hear the Vedas from Krishna. But he says, before you teach me the whole Veda, because it's quite vast, it takes some time, and I may die in the meantime. Anything can happen. So please give me the essence. Of all the Vedic scriptures, what is the essence? So over 5 nights, Krishna spoke, and that was the Pancharatra. Pancharatra, 5 nights. So the essence of the Veda is how to worship Krishna. Like that. So here is all the rules and regulations how to worship. So that was given by Krishna as the essence of Veda. So it is very, very important. It's not just some side thing. It's more than just twirling incense. The whole Pancharatric text is a philosophical treatise on how we can understand our relationship and establish that relationship through the process of regulated worship. Right? And so it regulates all the things that we do, how we dress, we wear our tilak, our neck beads, we wear our dhotis and saris and all that, how we take our bath, you know, that we, you know, clean ourselves with the right hand and we eat with the left hand. This is all Pancharatra. This is not coming from the Bhagavad Gita. Right? This is coming from the Pancharatra Gita. How we serve prasad, how we sit, our bead bags, this is all Pancharatra. 108 beads, Pancharatra. Right? Bhagavad Gita chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. You know? But if you can't do that, then you have to, like, create a tree. Let's cut some Pancharatra. So the rules of all that comes from there. Right? The, how you say? Yeah. But it's supportive of the principles of the Bhagavad Marg. It just creates a form in which we can do it when we're not fully on that, when we're not qualified to be established fully on that platform. Then, after offering the bhoga and that, then we come to the last part, the concluding activities. Then we chant the, how you say, then we've worshipped the Lord directly, now we worship Him through mantra, through yajna, we worship Him through His paraphernalia, we respect His paraphernalia, then we offer the remnants to the Lord's devotees. Here, we worship Mahabhishana is called Nirmalya. Nirmalya, see, it's like we have things that are dirty and that is Maha. So are all the leftovers of us is Mala. But from the Lord is Nirmalya. It's not contaminated, not dirty. So the leftover garlands, the leftover everything is Nirmalya. From that, by taking that, it removes all the contamination from our heart, all the mala from our heart. Like that. We're purified. So that's the special. So it's called Nirmalya. So here is offering Mahaprasadam, Nirmalyadikam. We offer to the Guru. Then we offer to Lord Chaitanya, then the Shakyas, Purnamasi, the Bratavasis, the Vaishnavas. Like that. So all that's worship to the Lord's associates. Then after that, And we do karma samarpana, we offer all our activities to the Lord. And we offer ourselves to the Lord, atma samarpana. Then we beg for forgiveness for anything we've done wrong. And after that, that's all they've done here. Then after that, we distribute the remnants to the devotees. So when we worship the Lord, it's not complete unless devotees are also worshipped and the Lord's prasadam is distributed. So that's why it's said that every activity must be ended with this. You have a big program, a big preaching program, anything. You must end with some prasad. Because we see in worship, that's how it is. You've done everything for the Lord. Now at the end, then the Lord's prominence is given to everybody. Everyone is satisfied. Like the Bhogartik song. It doesn't just Krishna ate, and that was it. So Krishna ate after he ate, then he washed his hands and all that. Then after that, then Dhanishta went and collected some of this and gave it to Radharani, the gopis, and then they're taking it. They're very happy. So we see the whole song does the whole. Krishna's coming with his cowherd friends, sitting there. They're eating this and that. They're having a good time, laughing and joking. Then afterwards, and they're cleaning themselves. They're washing their hands, feet, and everything. And then the remnants of the stupid. Like that. So we see this is just a view into what's happening in the spiritual realm. So like that. So that's what happens in here. Because that's what happens. Therefore, that's written into the deity worship. Right? Krishna is invited. He comes. He sits. You give him things to eat, nice things to drink. Afterwards, then he washes his hands and mouth, as we've done here. And then, after that, you distribute the remnants. So that's what they do in the spiritual pastimes, but that's all happening spontaneously. We don't know that. Therefore, it's given to us in rules and regulations. You know, first he does this, then he does this, then he does this. So first he comes, washes his hands and feet, then he sits down, then he eats, then he, like this. So that's how it comes to us, the Pancharatra comes to us. So by the grace of Sanatana Goswami, that's been established so that we can purify ourselves and then come up in our spiritual life. Are there any questions on this? Yes.
When we shave our head, then we connect the beads, all the hair will be there. So at the time we should remove the neck bead.
Well, if you don't mind, Yamadut is coming by at that time. Neck beads represent that we understand the material world is the place of suffering. Therefore, the neck beads are always there. We always understand it's a place of suffering. So the neck beads are always there.
They don't wear the neck beads.
Yes, but they wear shankan chakra. So do they remove their shankan chakra when they shave their head and take bath, going to the toilet? So if they don't do that, then why should we remove our neck beads? Shankan chakra are not spiritual living entities, not spiritual personalities. How can you subject the Lord's, you know, transcendental conch and discus to going in the toilet when we go in? They don't mind wearing those there. They won't wear it all, you know. It's just lack of understanding what is mudra. That is their mudra, and our mudra is the neck beads. So if they want to complain about our neck beads, ask them then first remove their trunk and chakra every time they go in the toilet. Otherwise, won't speak. And they'll say, of course, that's impossible. So then it's also impossible for us to remove our neck beads. Because what they do by the shankha and chakra, we do by our neck beads. Right? And if they say, well, this, that, just ask them. So they all do the same. Right? They put their shankha and chakra in the same place as the madhus, the shrees. Then, So there's different scriptures meant in so many different ways. And if they think particular out of thousands of ways to do something, the particular way they picked is the only way, then they have a problem. If they want to follow Madhva, then they have to do it that way. If they want to follow Ramanuja, they have to do it that way. If we want to follow Rupa Goswami, we do it our way. So the point is follow the Acharya. Then it's perfect. Then he points in the class. Yes.
But like this other class guide, he said about when you took the service to the spiritual master, then training for the spiritual work, and he talked about eventually the devotee will be serving the one who is training associates. So they'll always be serving. Perhaps the position of that devotee in relationship to his spiritual master. When he enters into a spiritual world, how is that relationship, is it still there in the same way? Is he serving through that spiritual master under the eternal associate?
Yeah, it means the service is there, but it's not so much an on reverence. It becomes more of friendship. Just like when the child is young, you know, there's the father, there's the son, you know? But then when the son gets older, then this relationship is established of friendship. So the father is always the senior friend. So in the spiritual realm, then that relationship becomes more a friendship, because then the qualifications become very similar. One is now on the transcendental platform. So the friendship is there. And in this way, you know, by their grace, all these things are happening. The Lord accepts us as somebody's servant, right? The direct servants are already there. I mean, the spots are taken. We already went through them. The direct servant is, you know, Radharani, is Mother Jashoda, is, you know, Sudam, Shridam, Subal, Madhu Mangal, Raktaka, you know, and you know, he's got, Kalpa Viksha tree that he sits under. All the other Kalpa Viksha trees are his servant, you know? The cows, those main cows, everybody else is their servants. The spots are already there. So now, what's dear to Krishna is that you're servant of servant. It's like, why the grandparents are more happy with the children or the grandchildren? Yeah. Because why? Because they're the children of their own children. So it's the connection that makes it. You know, you bring in any little kid, you know, the same size and age and everything as their own grandchildren, but it's not so dear, because it's not the children of their children. So when someone's the servant of the servant, that's very pleasing to Krishna. If the servant is what? Because the servant is so dear. If you're their servant, then you become very dear. Then if someone's their servant, then they become more dear. And more like this. Therefore, a servant 1,000 times removed, then Krishna is so pleased with that. So Krishna knows you're a servant of this person. You know? So that establishes the relationship. Because Krishna, unless he knows whose servant you are, he's not going to take you very seriously. That. He wants to know who you're serving behind. Therefore, we're very careful to approach the previous acharyas to your own acharya. If we jump, either Krishna or any resident of the spiritual realm will take us as a serious candidate for pure devotional service. None of them. They won't care. Because then you'll jump over, you know, Mother Jashoda, jump over Radharani. They don't want to deal with you. People who jump over the heads of their child, no one cares for them. You know, we may think it's very great, but they don't think. And their thinking counts, ours doesn't so much. Therefore, we always say, so we're following Prabhupada. You know, as Rupa Nugas, see, as worshippers of Radha Krishna, we worship through Lord Chaitanya. Of worshippers of Lord Chaitanya, we are specifically worshippers of Rupa Goswami. Worshippers of Rupa Goswami, we're specifically Saraswatas, or followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of that, we're specifically followers of Prabhupada. Right? And then the generations after that help us, help whoever is their contemporaries, understand and worship Prabhupada. That's the meaning of founder acharya. So Prabhupada's our acharya. We take help from the devotees to understand and his instructions and directions. So then we're very specific to stay in that line of the Adi Guru. We don't go here and there. We go here and there. Then the residents of the spiritual realm also say, well, this guy goes here and there. We don't want him in our group. Right? Why Mother Yashoda would take someone very seriously and train them up if she thinks they're going to walk off and go somewhere else? How can Sridham count on that this person is going to be here to, you know, help in these ways with the pastimes of Krishna? He may go off with some other, you know. Gopis, so many groups. You know, how will those who are serving Radharani think that this person is not going to go walk off with some other person? So why does it take you seriously? Right? They watch what you do here. This is why sadhana bhakti. They watch how you practice sadhana. Then they're going to see how you're going to fit in the spiritual realm. You're chaste here. They think, okay, then we'll check them out there. Right? Then they will check. If you're not here, you're not going to be there. We cannot fool ourselves. Right? Cannot fool ourselves to think that we will do this and that, whatever we like, and then suddenly we're going to be so qualified to work on the platform of what Krishna likes. Ashlisha vapada tampi nashtumam darshanam marma hasam karotuba. I mean, this is a very high level of surrender. Right? So, this is the surrender of the residents of Vrindavan. Whatever, if it pleases Krishna, that's good. That's what pleases us. It makes Krishna happy. If making us unhappy makes Krishna happy, then let me be very unhappy. Then Krishna will be so happy. That will make me happy. Right? So how is it we're doing whatever we like, however we like, whenever we like, and then suddenly, you know, they're going to take, oh, this person is so surrendered. It won't happen. So that's why sadhana bhakti has to be taken seriously. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami's prescriptions have to be taken seriously. How are they given to us by our acharyas? Otherwise, you know, what's going to be? Right? It's like you want entrance into some school or some job or something like that. They have a test. Right? They give you a test on things that you would do in once you're accepted. They don't test you on something else. Like you're going to an art school, they don't, you know, tell you, okay, you know, how do spark plugs work? You know, they ask you to draw something or sing something or dance something. And it's what they are, and they see you in an environment, in a formal environment. Then they watch, okay, do this, do this, do this. Then they say, okay, this person's okay. Mentality is good, their technique is good. Their ability to reciprocate with the others, they know how to deal with equals, they know how to deal with juniors, they know how to deal with the teachers. We can deal with this person. We can train. Then they'll take you in, and then like that. So it's the same way. That's what sadhana bhakti is. You're being watched. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes these people also get initiation. What's the position of those who get connected or whatever, or they take initiation from those people to come around?
I wouldn't want to guess. All I know is that I'm praying my best, but I am never in that position. But I wouldn't want to guess. Basic thing is this, they can't be taken very seriously. There's the ones that jump around or the ones who unknowingly? Then it's just a matter of that Krishna's arranged that they come in contact with that. Because they may have the tendency or something for that. So therefore, that they're attracted by that. Just because it's the guru getting to these others. We know all the everybody else by that. It's just like a small child. They get something. Who do they go to first? Those that they know. And then they direct them, okay, now you get to this, now you get to that. Maybe. But we have to understand here is that the etiquette's there. We take it to them first. Because the point is everybody else is like, see, on the material platform, people have a problem with gurus and their position. On the spiritual platform, they don't. They know who you are connected through. They expect you to come through them. It's going to come to the higher levels, but it's going to come to those higher levels through that spiritual master, through that paramita. Right? That's the point. So therefore, we take there first. Doesn't mean that the spiritual master necessarily accepts it. But that's our connection, and everybody knows that. So therefore, they expect it to work that way. So like that. Means this is in offering specifically, you know, all the garlands and this and that. Because when we're offering the uptake, then we just go from Krishna down and then come back to the spiritual master. And then from there it goes to the general devotees. But here this is specifically is the bokeh, the garlands, the sandalwood paste, all those things that were used during the morning puja. Does that make any sense? So it's a slightly but same principle, but just it's a little different application than the Artik.
You mentioned that before you bathe the Lord, you invoke the Lord into the water. Do you mean the river, holy rivers?
The holy rivers have been invoked before. Mm-hmm. Now you're actually installing the deity in the water. So that it comes in the same transcendental position. Like that. Because this whole process of yoga, because that's all within yoga. Yoga, ija starts after that, after the Manasa Puja. Everything before that's yoga. It's a different section. You're not actually directly worshipping the Lord yet. You've purified the paraphernalia. You've purified yourself. You've purified the place. You've established the paraphernalia. You've installed the paraphernalia. You've worshipped it. You then worship the spiritual master. You worship Lord Caitanya. You do the Manasa Puja of the deity. You then establish the direct paraphernalia that you're going to use for the Lord's service. It means the bathing water, his place is going to be bathed in. That then ends the yoga. Or bringing yourself and all the paraphernalia to the transcendental, optimum transcendental position. Then you start ija, which is worship of the Lord. So it's a totally separate section. They look the same. So many times, Pacharyas will mix them up. But they're totally separate things. Like, the paraphernalia and all that used for worshipping the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, in yoga, will not be used in ija for the Lord. It's separate. It means there's a very clear, clean line between the two, and they can't be overlapped. At least in paraphernalia. We understand that the one is preparing for the other. So there's that must be very clean, clear, like that. It's preparing yourself and then doing it.
This morning I read in the temple, in the back of the temple, and there's an article by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Pancha Samskara,
yes.
And there he says the fifth item of deity worshiping is
Yaga.
Yaga. Where does that come from?
I'm not sure of the Sanskrit derivative Yaga. You could ask Gopi Kananda. but it specifically yaga means worship of the deity. That's why this is all part of the Panchartra. The first thing is you understand the material world is a place of misery. That's represented by the neck beads. Then the second part of is you understand the path going back to Godhead. That's the tilak, the upward path. Like that. Then is the name, nama, where you identify yourself as servant of Krishna and receive the holy names. Then the fourth is the mantra, the Panchartric mantras by which you worship the deity. And the fifth is the actual worship, the right to worship the deity. That's yaga. So it's all part of initiation. So, you know, his question then, what in the Sri's and Madhvas for tapa or mudra, they will brand themselves as Shankha and Chakra. For us, we'll be neck beads. So it's part of Raja Samskar. Okay, so we'll end here. Shri the Prabhupada ki. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.